Welcome to the Sportscast, July 7th, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcasts. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online digital radio. You can also visit us on thesportscast.net. And you could follow us on the Sportscast One and Instagram, the Sportscast One on Twitter and Instagram. You could also check out our app. You could download it on the iOS App Store, the Sportscast for iOS. NBA free agency is coming to a close a little bit. A lot of the big players have been traded. A lot of the big players has been extended in their current team. Some players will have some new teams. And of course, some big names are still floating around. Anyways, join us to rehash all this. Ryan Krista, welcome back to the Sportscast.
Santiago, it was good to be here. It's kind of, you know, the most, I think one of the most entertaining times to be a sports fan, in the sense of there's so much happening, and not in the sense of playing, but just, you know, free agency and, you know, who's going where, whether it be in basketball or hockey, or just, you know, and then, you know, things are heating up on that term.
Yeah, and a lot of teams are still looking for those pieces to complete their championship run. I think one of them, of course, is Damian Lillard from the Portland Trail Blazers. He's still up in the air. And of course, we got James Harden, who is in Philadelphia. He could stay, but he might be moving out. Your thoughts on Lillard maybe coming to the Heat? I know Mavericks have also expressed some interest. I think the Clippers have, the Knicks, but what do you think? What happened to Lillard?
Yeah, this is interesting. Damian Lillard, a guy who's been pretty faithful to the Blazers, you know, since, you know, for, you know, 10 plus years, you know, gave him everything he got. He signed, you know, a really long-term deal not long ago, but the Blazers, they're kind of in the crosswinds, you know, they want to move on, you know, in the sense of, they traded away, you know, his running mate, C.J. McCollum, a couple of years ago. They thought they could really build back up, but, you know, it's not really happening with this core. So, you know, the Blazers, they want to tear it down. They want to start fresh, you know. So we came to the point, you know, a couple weeks ago, the Blazers had to start picking the draft. Damian Lillard expressed the organization publicly that, you know, he wanted to use that third pick, you know, to kind of flip, you know, organization, go look for, you know, to trade it for kind of a piece that they can win now with. But, you know, the Blazers went in another direction to use that pick, you know, on the, you know, on a, you know, drafty Scoot Henderson, who is kind of in itself another building, a guy that the organization feels they can build around and start fresh with him. So, they basically, you know, him and Damian, the organization, Damian Lillard, to come to the basically the agreement that they're going in a different direction. So Damian Lillard, you know, wants to move on, but he wants to only really move on to the Heat.
Which, but, you know, which he has expressed that he really wants the Miami Heat.
Yeah, it basically said, you know, if you trade me elsewhere, I'm not going to be happy. And maybe not even go to the organization, you know, refuse to. So it's really kind of put the Blazers in a tough situation. So the Blazers, they want the best deal for them. You know, they want, whether it be a player or draft capital, you know, they want what's best for the organization. And that may not come from the Heat. The Heat don't have a lot of assets to give away, you know.
They don't. Only Tyler really Hero is the one that buzzes a bit for a trade like that.
Yeah, and I don't think the Blazers really want Tyler Hero. If the Tyler Hero gets put in this trade, it's probably going to a third team, you know. The Blazers would want to, you know, a win now superstar, you know, in a Bam, Baggio, or Jimmy Butler. But then Damian Lillard doesn't want to go to the Heat if those two players aren't playing for them. So it's kind of, it really puts them in a really tough situation because the Blazers aren't going to get what they want for Damian Lillard if he goes to Heat. Because, you know, they want, so that's why it would probably be sending, you know, Tyler Hero to a team maybe like the Spurs or the Thunder or somebody who's got a lot of draft capital that they could send to the Blazers in return. That's kind of where we're at. He's going to go to the Heat. I think it's just a matter of when, not if. So he doesn't even, you know, I would think he would want to go to a place like Philadelphia with a trade with James Harden, or maybe Boston, you know, but he's really got his mindset, you know, he's become really good friends, I guess, with Bam Adebayo in the offseason, you know, so that's where he wants to go, and people can debate, and you've heard both sides of the argument. Did the Blazers owe it to him to send him where he wants, or did the, or should the Blazers, you know, in the sense of do what's best for his nation, and don't really care where they trade into, they just want the best. So people can be on whatever side of the argument you want, but that's just kind of the facts of where we are right now.
It is. It might be more of a business decision. You mentioned James Harden, and you said a potential trade between him and Lillard, him going to Portland, of course, Lillard going to Philadelphia, which that Philadelphia team, if they add Lillard, will definitely be, hopefully, a Eastern Conference final contender. But what do you think is going to happen to James Harden? Of course, there's been rumors of him going back to Houston. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, that's not happening. They signed eventually to a huge contract. That's probably, that's definitely, I don't think it's going to happen. But where he lands, I don't know. It's kind of tricky. Is this a 1 year guarantee, you know, salary, you know, right now? Because he had a, he was a free agent, but he had a player option, which he opted into. And then he opted in with the hopes that he would be traded elsewhere, not to stay with the Sixers. So, I mean, the Sixers are also the point of, you know, you can keep him, but then at the end of the day, he's probably not going to re-sign with you, and you're not going to get anything for him. And they want to get something, you know. So I don't know what's the value for 1 year James Harden. It's probably not huge. So where is that going to end up? You know, I could see. I mean, he really wants to play the Clippers. And obviously, with 1 year James Harden contract, it's not going to get you either Paul George or Kawhi Leonard. It'll probably get you some pieces. You know, maybe a Terrence Mann, Norman Powell type player. So we'll see. I also just, you know, see if they're just going to just try to roll it back one more time, you know, see what happens. Yeah.
And which we need to touch on the Houston Rockets. They've been building up this offseason. They got Fred VanVleet. Yeah. They got Dylan Brooks and Jock Landale. Your thoughts on the squad that's kind of forming up a bit. Ryan? We lost Ryan for a bit. He might be going to a reception in Rochester. There you are, Ryan. We lost you for a bit.
Oh, sorry. Am I? You hear me?
I can hear you now. To recap, Rockets got some load up a little bit in the offseason. Got VanVleet, Dylan Brooks, Jock Landale, Jeff Green, Aaron Holiday, Harry's Days, and Trevor Hudgens.
Yeah, so they loaded up. What you got to understand from the outside is, with the NBA, you have a salary cap, but you also have a salary floor. And if you know the Rockets, the last couple of years have been building up through the draft. But right now, those draft pieces don't get paid a lot of money. So they needed to, they had to spend money in the offseason. So yes, they way overspent for Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks and maybe Jacques Landale, but they had to because they had to reach a certain point in a salary cap, you know, salary floor, according to the CBA. So you, that's where they said, you know. But what you did, you added players, your fundamentally who was the core member of that Raptors championship team a couple of years ago. Kind of a core guy, you know. He's going to instill some, you know, some toughness. Dylan Brooks will do the same thing. Because you got a lot of young pieces of the Raptors. Rockets. They kind of don't fit. Yeah, you're hoping that bringing some of these other pieces around these great athletes that drafted will kind of add something that's been missing with the, you know, with this team. You know, that new coach Udoka, Ime Udoka, kind of really put the Celtics on the map a couple years ago. So I like what they did. You know, I don't know what. Terms of wins, what we'll do right now, but they'll definitely be a much more formidable team, because I think there's times in the last couple of years where they just didn't have it because they were just too young, too inexperienced, you know, they just didn't really fit as a team. I think now adding, you know, some leadership, toughness to this team, you know, will go a long way in building up or bringing together some of these young pieces they've drafted.
For sure. They're definitely looking better than they did last season. So we'll see what happens. We'll see who'll be the first Texas team back in the playoffs for this upcoming season. Of course, the Spurs got Wembanyama, might be work in progress there. But let's go to the Dallas Mavericks. You guys, picked up Kyle Irving, you extended his contract. You got Grant Williams and Seth Curry, Dwight Powell, and Justin Holiday. Your thoughts on this pickup? Will Dallas be a playoff contender again?
I hope so. You know, so you brought back Kyrie Irving. They had no choice. You know, they spent so much to get him last year. Yes, it didn't really work out last year in short term, but, you know, hopefully Kyrie and Luka playing together and, you know, practicing, you know, in the offseason, training camp, they'll be more of a 1-2 punch, you know, than they did at the end of last season. So now you bring in Grant Williams, you know, a toughness guy, you know, undersized, but I'm center, but I think he'll be asked to play more of the, you know, power forward, small forward position. Yeah, this something that has been lacking since, you know, they traded Kyrie, you know, they traded some pieces that to get Kyrie. So, you know, just trying to build up some of that roster back. They try to get another, you know, defensive wing in Matisse Thybulle, but the Blazers matched his offer, so he's going back to Portland. They bring back Dwight Powell, you know, more of a utility center. But I did like, you know, the moves they made, you know, even through the draft, you know, getting some of their bad contracts they had on their team, you know, really for nothing, you know. So they made some smart decisions. Nothing, you know, overwhelming in the sense of totally changing the roster from last season, but a lot of necessary moves. And I think they still have what they call the mid-level exception, which another ways you can go over salary cap legally without paying a fine. So there's still the $12 million use that they were going to use with five of this contract. But, you know, so they still have that since about Portland match your offer. So still some room to make more adjustments to the upcoming season for the Mavericks.
A lot going on. How would you give the rating? What rating would you give to Dallas so far with their moves in the offseason?
I'd say B+ because they got rid of some contracts. You know, Grant Williams, again, he's going to be felt more not necessarily in the stat bell, but more, you know, what he, the, you know, intangibles they bring. So you're not going to, I just think, you know, necessary moves. I wouldn't give them an A because I don't think they were home run moves. And that's what you need to give an A to.
But the filling up that role player area where you guys depleted your role players this past season. So you're kind of, you know, refueling it.
Yeah. And it's in a draft. You know, Derek Lively is a guy. They're lacking, you know, rim protection. You know, Derek Lively will give that to you. He's not go out there and play, you know, 40 minutes a game type of player right now. That's not who they drafted. Omar Prosper. Another, you know, guy who's going to be intangible player, defender, just not there ready to play yet. So they drafted two players I think are highly talented, can play now, but not play huge minutes now. So, and then you bring in Grant Williams, you know, Seth Curry, a guy who has experience of playing with Kyrie back in Brooklyn, so... And obviously, he's got experience playing with Luka a couple of years ago. I think it's his third stint now with the Mavericks, so he's definitely familiar with the organization. A guy who, obviously, more famous for being the brother of Steph Curry. But he's
got that dynamic. He does come through with big games.
Role player. He can definitely get, you know, he's a streaky shooter. I think he may be even more streaker than... He definitely has the capability just to be as good shooter as Steph Curry, but he's just not the playmaker overall basketball player that Steph is. He just, you know, really for one reason, and that's to shoot the basketball.
There's one free agent that I forgot to mention was, well, you might have brought it up already, which I apologize if I had to bring it up again. Matisse Thybulle. He signed for a 3-year offer with the Mavericks. What are your thoughts over this signing for the Mavs?
Well, he signed the Mavs, but he was what they call a restricted free agent. So basically, he belonged to Portland in the sense of Portland has the ability to match any offer that Dallas gave. So they, signed the sheet on yesterday, and within hours, Portland matched the offer. So he's going back to Portland in that same deal he signed with the Mavericks.
Oh, he's going to Portland. Okay, he's not going to Dallas.
Yeah. The restricted free agent. He was a restricted free agent. So basically, whatever anything going to offer, he was going to get matched by Portland. So
okay.
What? These are Portland making. They're basically, you know, moving on from Damian. You know, they signed Jeremy Grant, a huge contract. So you got your young piece, you know, some pieces in terms of Anthony Simons, who drafted a couple of years ago. Scoot Henderson is drafted this year. So that's your backcourt of the future. You got Jeremy Grant, who's basically going to be your guy. He's not a winner in the sense that he's not a bad guy. He just means he's going to basically lead your team through this period of time while you're Simmons and Henderson are developing and hopefully they're becoming that 1-2 punch. I'm just really interested to see what they get in the end for Lillard. You know, it's not going to be what they want. You know, I think they're going to just get a whole bunch of draft picks. Like I said, I think Hero's going to be traded to one team, and that team is going to, in return, give the draft. Because the Heat really don't even have a lot of draft capital themselves. Pat Riley is a master recruiter, and he's putting a bug into the ear, you know, to Damian Lillard that this is where you need to be, and you are the missing piece that we have. Another guy that the Heat will probably end up trading to this trade is Kyle Lowry. In the sense of,
yeah, he might be on the offloading zone.
Yeah, he'll probably be in this trade. He'll probably go to Portland. He'll get bought out of his contract, which will give some more financial freedom to Portland. in the future. And basically, he might be end up going. He'll basically end up going to another team that's ready to win now. I wouldn't even say he's rolled back going back to Miami on the minimum contract. But he would be going to a team like Boston, the Lake, any team that's ready to win now that can afford a veteran minimum. But I think a team that, you know, when we're talking free agency, I think the Suns did a great job of finding a lot of pieces from day. As soon as the 6 o'clock hit last Friday, they were out there going and bargain hunting, you know, finding these players. It kind of reminded me of, you know, when the Heat were the first team to develop that super team of three players and you basically no money to spend anywhere else. And that's where the Suns were. And they went out there and they found players who were willing to say, I want to, you know, be part of something special, and they will be part of something special. And Phoenix. So basically, Phoenix, they have three star players, but they really got fourth because they didn't get paid like a star player. So the amount of money, it was a huge CBA. You really get penalized for going over what they call the second apron, which is the second benchmark, which you pay a humongous, you know, buying tax, whatever you want to call it, for going over that. So they really had to balance their roster, which I think they did a great job. And I thought the Lakers did another good job of being selective, you know, building on the success they had at the end of the year. Because if they started off better in their season, I think things would have even been better in the playoffs. But I feel like
they would have had a higher seed, you mean?
It would have been a higher team. It would have been a lot easier, but
it definitely it was LeBron's last dance, and it could be could very well be still.
I think he's got one more run in there. I think this is a year, Santiago. Whether
I don't know, man. When you have a camera crew follow him around, that's a sign.
Yeah, I don't think this will be honest. He's definitely going to play with his. He wants to play with his son. Whether his son's ready to go to the NBA not next year, he's going to go to the NBA.
You know they're projecting his son to go to Atlanta, and then LeBron will have to move to Atlanta and sign with the Hawks.
He's going to go, you know, this the way the Lakers have signed and built this team for now, this year, which I think they're championship ready. But beyond LeBron, I feel like they made signings that would lead you to believe that they are ready to win even after LeBron's gone, built around Anthony Davis.
With the great mind of Pelinka.
Yeah, Pelinka's turning out to be a good GM. You know, if Austin Reeves turns out to be, you know, the sniper that he showed, you know, towards the end of the season, Rui.
Clutching those shots against Memphis.
Here were great.
And also hiring Darvin Ham. He definitely was a great addition to this Laker team as head coach.
Yeah. He was, you know, a good coach. I'm really interested to see, you know, I talked about how the Suns did a great job filling out their roster. I think they only had six or seven players under contract, you know, when 6 p.m. hit, you know, on last Friday.
And of course, they offloaded Chris Paul.
Yeah, and that was important, too, to be able to give them some more freedom and be able to attain, you know, a player in the caliber of Bradley Beal, you know. So I really like what they did.
You know, Phoenix was the closest, had the closest series against the Nuggets of all the players.
Yeah, and that was with, that was, you know, with a you know, Chris Paul of a shell of himself by the end of the year. And Durant and Booker barely played together. So I really like that.
What if they had more experience and they were healthy?
Western Conference is tough. I feel like we're talking about everybody but the Nuggets, who are the defending champions. And they did lose a big piece in Bruce Brown, but I still, they're going to be there at the end too.
Well, there you have it. But I still do think Warriors could sell off Chris Paul. That still could be a potential issue.
Oh, I might run it through this year and see what happens. But the way their roster is constructed, they'll be able to, treat Chris Paul, especially at the beginning of the season, kind of that kid's glove, approach and, limiting his minutes, limiting what he does on a daily or early season basis. So I think you'll see him play more as the season goes on. But as of right now, I think you're going to see him, in a limited basis because they want his experience. They want his, him being at full force, when it matters in the playoffs.
There you
but
have
yeah,
it.
I mean, that's what my issue is, why I don't give an A to the Mavericks is, yes, they made the necessary moves. They still have money left to spend.
Yeah, there's still a couple more weeks left.
Where do you rank them in this hierarchy of the Western Conference?
I don't know. Playing for sure. But anything higher, I have to look at the stat sheets.
Higher than seventh seed? I don't think so, Santiago.
Yeah, because talking about stronger Sacramento, Warriors are still in the lingo is the things. Of course, Denver is the Suns. I mean, of course, Lakers. And who knows about the Clippers? Because apparently they're going to be healthy next season.
Yeah. I mean, the Clippers will be there, whether Harden's there or not.
That'll be a team of the watch-ups. I call it.
Yeah, but they still got enough talent. They got enough talent around that team. They'll be all right.
One team that I really like that's shaping up well is the Boston Celtics. They got Kristaps Porzingis. They got O'Shea Brissett. Delano Banton. This team is definitely looking stronger and potentially a big warning sign for the Miami Heat.
Yeah, I mean, the Eastern Conference. Yeah, Eastern Conference is definitely a top heavy right now, and
I haven't seen anything like it in a while. Maybe since the early 90s.
How the Harden situation works his way out. I don't see the 76ers in that top half again. I feel like
can they make
the
it to
Celtics?
The Eastern Conference Finals? They haven't been out of in a while.
No, I mean, right now, no. Because you don't have you don't have anybody's reputation of being able to win in the playoffs, the big games. I thought they had a great job to get to the Celtics to get to the seventh game, but the seventh game, they didn't even show up.
They're one game away, Ryan. One game away.
So I'm not even worried about game seven. I think we talked about this months ago. Game six at home in Philadelphia, you got to win that game.
You got to win game six. You got to protect home court no matter what. Maybe Nick Nurse might turn things around in Philadelphia. I don't know.
So that's where I feel like, okay, they got a budding superstar if they let him go, and that's Tyrese Maxey in the sense of let him do his thing. You got the reigning MVP, Joel Embiid. You got a guy you pay a lot of money in, Tobias Harris. But that's another guy who never really shows up in clutch moments. You got a good regular season team, whether, James Harden's there or not. I still think that, I don't think I'll put him at the top half, though. So. I think you're going to see, especially he got Damian Lillard, which all indications, it could happen anytime.
It could happen today. These moves always happens after our show, right after. I don't know why.
I mean, we're taping this at 1:30 Friday, July 7th. By the time we're done talking, by 2 o'clock, I mean, this trade could happen.
This could very well happen. Pat Riley is getting... And getting the deal done.
And we're going to talk a little bit of NBA Summer League here.
Yeah, some good extending players. I like the Heat's pick.
Yeah, this Summer League, we've had a little bit of Summer League. You got The one in Sacramento, you got this one in Salt Lake City, which are more showcases. And but this is a real deal. Las Vegas starting off in just a couple hours.
Even this guy, Shemet, he's like, he was playing.
Who?
He's long and lanky. I forgot his name. I'm pulling it up. Anyways, let's keep going there.
Anyway, so you got the big thing in the NBA Summer League for the next, you know, week.
Ted Holmgren was playing. That's what I meant.
Ted Holmgren. Yeah, he played. I don't know if he's going to play in Las Vegas. I think they want to get him some experience. Yeah, he showcased very nice the last couple of nights for Oklahoma City. If there's any NBA fans out here, you know, if you want to go see players up front and personal, get your butt to Las Vegas. Been there, done that. If you want to work in the NBA, if you want to meet people, go to Las Vegas. And besides that, when we're going to talk about deals, Damian Lillard will definitely be traded well in Las Vegas, because what happens, everybody's together. Executives are there. Agents are there.
NBA bubble style.
Yeah, except everybody can talk to each other. They're not. It's a melting pot, you know.
Jaime Jacks for the Heat looks a lot of potential. He says he wants to be just like Butler. So.
Yeah, you know, the Heat draft a certain player. They want a certain type of player. I'm not interested. You know how Damian Lillard will fit. Replacing, you know, these two, I don't know, guys that I think he were like they got the most out of, and that's Gabe Vincent and
Max Strus,
you know, two guys that, I mean, 2 years ago, I don't think anybody could tell you who these were. They didn't know where they came from. they just kind of just showed up and.
Martin went to the Lakers. Strus went to Cleveland, right?
Yeah. Kind of core guys, but yeah, it'd be interesting to see, you know, they kind of just fit the Heat culture, as people might say.
You know, Spoelstra makes it happen with a thin lineup or a deep lineup.
Best coach in the NBA, hands down. You get the most out of everybody.
But he didn't win Coach of the Year, though.
That doesn't matter, but I'm just saying he gets, because they were underachieving.
Eight seed came out of the play-in.
This team had to go to the last possible moment to play in to get in. I mean, this is a team that was one game away from the finals last year. Everybody expected everything. And then, you know, you really had a tough regular season. They up and down, no consistency. And then they just they turned it out at the right time. And that's just Eric Spoelstra. Hitting the right buttons at the right moments to get the most out of this team. So that, you know, here nor there, you know, my hierarchy, you know, right now going into Eastern Conference, you got the Bucks. To me, the Bucks are still number one. Bucks, Celtics, Heat. And I'm going to peg the Knicks at the number four, Cavs number five, or vice versa. And I mean, you have to put the 76ers right now at six, you know, in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, and of course, you're saying the Knicks because they added the Dante DiVincenzo, which he has played with Brunson in college in the past.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But the way they're, you know, they can win with this team.
But can they beat the Heat? Apparently they struggle with the Heat.
It'll be all right. This team is they're still kind of stupid together. But what you got to look is that they can win this team, but they also, these pieces are expendable in the sense of they could bundle a couple of these package pieces up if they see a player they want. And they still have financial flexibility next year to sign, you know, that marquee free agent.
Well, there's something that James Dolan is doing right.
I feel like they could go and get Paul George right now.
Injury-prone Paul George?
Yeah, and I think that's the issue. You could upgrade your roster. take a couple of players who you know, an RJ Barrett. You know,
love RJ Barrett.
Julius Randle.
I don't know. Julius Randle's a tough guy to take. He does make a lot of money. He's not. He's good for the Knicks. I don't know if he's good anywhere else.
They offloaded also Obi Toppin to Indiana.
Yeah, that, you know, I think that's just basically the thing. He wasn't who they thought they drafted, you know. And there's always one team that kind of goes crazy in the
draft.
I'd say the NBA free agency. There's two teams, and they both kind of had to spend money just the way they built their roster. And that was the Pacers and the Rockets. We talked about the Rockets. The Pacers in the same scenario. Had to spend money. They way overspent for Bruce Brown. They're taking on Obi Toppin. And they gave a huge bunch of money to Tyrese Halliburton, you know, who's a good player. I don't know if he's worth what they just paid him. So we'll see what happens with the Pacers going forward.
Before we get out of basketball, do you see San Antonio Spurs making the play-in with the new drafted Webayana, or give it another year?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm just saying. I think they could – if they're looking to add some more talent, I could see them adding, you know, Tyler Hero in that. They still have draft capital that they've acquired, you know. So you could be that team that helps facilitate that trade with Portland. You know, I think they need – I just want to – you know, Greg Popovich isn't getting any younger. Does he want to be part of this total rebuild, you know?
I have a 10-year plan. I don't think he could last 10 years.
He won't be here for 10 years. I feel like the 10-year plan would be part of a successor, which might be on their coaching staff, might not be. But
where's Tim Duncan?
They're in good position, San Diego. They got good financial flexibility. They got some good young pieces. I don't know if they have their running mate, but here's what's going to happen. They're going to evaluate, I would say, halfway through the season, mid-season. If they're not in playoff contention, they will take Wembanyama out and start, you know, thinking, because they know that to win, they need that running mate. That's what they'll have to acquire through the draft. Next year. So they're going to kind of see where they are, I think. And if not, they'll take Wembanyama out and, you know, kind of tank, you know. You saw a lot of the same issues. You know, the Jazz were a team didn't think, you know, after they've, you know, played with Rudy Gobert, they didn't think they're going to be that good of a team. And all of a sudden, they start overachieving in their front office. Overly excited about all these wins they're getting. So basically, they kind of told the coaching staff, you got rest players. And they're able to kind of take a step back, make sure they didn't make the play-in, you know, and get that, you know, necessary draft pick they wanted. So I think you'll see that the Spurs kind of do that thing. But they could start really, you know, if they feel like, okay, we're going to make the playoffs and this will be a good experience for Wembanyama to play in the actual playoffs. Not just playing, they'll go forward this season. But that's kind of what my forecast for the Spurs.
Looking forward to Wemby, the most anticipated prospect in NBA history, they say.
Yeah, I mean, tonight, you know, they always try to get the first game of the summer league to be the number one and two picks, and that's what we got tonight. With the Spurs and Hornets playing against each other, you know, number two pick Brandon Miller. But most years, he'll be a contentious number one pick. He's a freak athlete, you know, ability to kind of take over a game. Yeah, I really think he could be the guy to also put the Hornets back on the map. You know, like I mentioned, those top 16
sold
are really good.
Michael Jordan, a new ownership.
Yeah, he's still going to be around. I think, you know, I think
as a consultant role.
Yeah, exactly. I think actually he needs to kind of take a his hands-off approach. Let somebody else on the team, that, you know, give his advice here and there, but kind of had a hands-off approach. You know, I think when you've got an owner who really wants to be involved, it really takes, it was really tough to put a team together, because that's kind of why they're a little bit mismatched. You know, they haven't really been able to put together. You know, they got this D'Angelo Ball, who's very good, and just really haven't been able to put the pieces around him to make it happen. So, again, you know, you got Ball, you're going to have Miller. You'll have a good, you know, core there. Again, another team that probably just wants to get experience from Miller, but not they want to be able to acquire that high draft pick next year, too. So they'll try to control some of their winnings this year, too.
Well, there you have it. We had a mouthful of the NBA today. Tuesday is the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, 8 p.m. How would you rank the MLB All-Star Game compared to the Pro Bowl, NFL Pro Bowl, NBA All-Star, and NHL All-Star? They might be up there.
Oh, it's definitely by far the best All-Star Game.
NBA is slacked a bit.
It's real baseball. It's real baseball.
It's true, because they're trying to compete for records, aren't they?
No, well, they used to do it for home field advantage in the World Series, which they took away. It doesn't mean anything. But you could just see it matters to the players, and that's really kind of what matters. So you don't see players just dropping out for no reason. They want to play.
You can see some pitchers throwing some hard balls and some hitters trying to.
Like pitchers, I think the rule is if you pitch after, I think, Friday, you're not allowed to pitch in the All-Star, Friday or Saturday, or you're like, you know, you're able to get out of pitching, and they're able to add somebody else to the roster. It's definitely by far the best. It's the best, I think, between the All-Star Game and Home Run Derby and the night before. It's a good couple of days of baseball.
Well, there you have it. We'll see. We'll see Ohtani play. He's been having a fantastic season. Of course, Ellie De La Cruz having a good rookie season. So a lot of good stuff happened in baseball this season. Of course, they sped up the time. They changed the rules. And so the game is a little bit quicker. So
game, I think Gears don't love it. But, I mean, the attendance is up. The viewership on TV is up. It's a, you know, it's not a huge difference in the sense of maybe not how long the game lasts, but just when you're watching it, it just goes by quicker.
It does, which is something that was needed for a bit, you know?
Yeah, I mean, people who like baseball, for the fact there isn't time involved, they don't really love it, but they're turning it into the American game in the sense of, you know, our attention span isn't that high. You know, kids aren't playing the baseball because it's not fast, it's not exciting. So they're doing their best to further the game as much as they can. And I definitely am a big fan of the rule changes.
Well, there you have it. MLB All-Star Game Tuesday, 8 p.m. on Fox. And of course, the NBA Summer League on ESPN. Check those out. The future of the NBA is tonight. Anyways, Ryan, predictions, USA versus Canada on Sunday night for the Gold Cup quarterfinals. Who you got for that match?
For how much USA dominated opening round, this is a tough, quarterfinal match, but, I really enjoyed watching, these young guys for USA last couple of games, kind of, trying to make their mark, keep their name in the coaches' back of their mind, when they're making these squads coming up here near future. But yeah, I'm gonna go USA. I don't think they'll win 6-0 like they did the last couple of games, but I did everything they advanced past Canada.
There you have it. Sunday against Canada, quarterfinal, a rematch of the Nations League.
Biggest headline in the Gold Cup is the financial trouble that Canadian soccer is in.
Yeah, it's quite something.
They're drowning in cash, which is, interesting because they've definitely poured money into the program, because they're definitely a lot better than they have been, but not good news for a team a country that's about to host the World Cup here in a couple of years.
Yeah, not good. And they have a good squad forming along as well. So also announced today, Christian Pulisic, the American soccer superstar, is joining AC Milan in the Serie A league, coming from Chelsea, but not a bad signing for Pulisic.
No, I think I always like to see our players play in the Premier League because it's the most easiest viewed league for us to watch here in America. But I mean, overall competition in Serie A is not bad. It's quality competition. It's one of the premier clubs. He'll still be playing in Champions League on a yearly basis. Sometimes when you play for these super teams in the Premier League, though, you can kind of it's hard to compete with minutes. I think that's the point.
You get squeezed out. Lately. Yeah, you get squeezed out.
Even how good, I feel like he's playing great, and you can still get squeezed out. I think that was kind of the issue, He wanted to go somewhere where he could still be in a marquee, premier world-class club, but he wouldn't have to be fighting every day for, to be in the starting 11.
Well, there you have it. You can watch him on Paramount Plus. They have all the Serie A matches and whatnot. Ryan Krista, what is the best way to reach you online to ask you about the WNBA?
I don't know if I'm your WNBA expert. I think that's our friend Alan West would be our WNBA expert. But Mad Dog Report 18. Mad Dog Report on Twitter,
Of
you
course.
Want to ask me about who I think is from our derby, and that's Polar Pete Alonso. I'm your guy there.
Who's that? For what?
Pete Alonso for the Mets.
Okay, that's right. WNBA, you can watch on ESPN. It's during the NBA offseason. I believe their finals are in October or September. I'm not sure, but it's around that time.
Quality basketball. I definitely enjoy watching the Aces play, Becky Hammond. Who could be, I think, Greg Popovich's successor when it's all said and done.
It could be.
They're really fun team to watch. I'm not anti-women's basketball. I'm not the expert in women's basketball.
Not even in college either.
I'm probably more of an WNBA expert than I am in college basketball, unless it's Caitlin Clark, and who doesn't want to watch Caitlin Clark play basketball.
Well, there you have it. You can follow us along. We might have some women news, sport news on the sportscast.net. Check it out there. We will cover the Women's World Cup coming up in a few weeks. And you can reach us on Twitter, the sportscast1, and also the Instagram, the sportscast1. A lot of going on in sports. It's not totally dead. NFL's a little bit quiet right now. Of course, D-Hop might join New England at any moment, so we'll see what's that. Check out the Jersey Boys. They think Detroit Lions might win the Super Bowl sooner than you think. And, of course, check out Allen West College Sports News this past week. Ryan, any closing words before we head off on this beautiful July weekend?
Yeah. Before you say Women's World Cup, have you got any Women's World Cup sticker books like you did for Men's World Cup?
No, I don't. I believe they do have them around, but I would not be collecting them. That, that Men's World Cup, like you're going to spend like $400 easily.
Yeah, we spent a fair amount on that, San Diego. Thank you for your helping us finish our collection up. But yeah,
it's a huge business down here. Like you see people putting tents and selling those stickers for whatever. And for this time's version, for this past year's version, they had red borders and blue borders of the stickers. It became bizarre.
Yeah, it was a big deal. We only have limited stock here in New York. Other than your local Walgreens, I don't know where else you can find them here in New York.
Yeah, I know. And I went to trade. I went on eBay. I went in person to trade at restaurants. And I was able to do it, but I really do enjoy the thrill. So check out those Panini World Cup stickers every 4 years. I recommend it. And that's all she wrote. Well, Ryan, thanks for coming on to the Sportscast, and maybe I'll see you soon.
All right. Sounds good, San Diego. God bless everybody.
And this was your update.